Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Another opportunity that the Lord has given to us, all of us, to be able to come together around His Word during this time of waiting on the Lord, during this time of our Daniel fast. I trust God that you are enjoying the presence of God. You are pressing in. You are seeking Him more and more, like we studied together last in our last Bible study on Wednesday last week. I trust God that you are enjoying the benefits of taking more time to praise God, to worship Him, to pray, talk to Him about the things that are important to you and the things that are important to Him. I trust God that you are growing in your knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Father, we thank you so much for tonight, and we thank you for your mighty presence that is with us. Your presence that is going through the airwaves, we're not limited in any way. There are no limits to us in the spirit realm. We know, God, that your hands are upon us. And in this season, as we have dedicated ourselves to seeking you, to taking time to know you more, to grow in our relationship and intimacy with you, we feel confident that our lives are secure in your hands, and we are enveloped in your presence. I thank you so much. I give you the glory for everyone who is under the sound of my voice, all of my brothers and sisters, and all of their families, their loved ones. God, draw us closer to yourself again. Give us illumination. Precious Holy Spirit, grant me utterance. Help me speak that which you have ordained to be spoken tonight. Think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. All of you and none of me tonight. And Lord, grant us all understanding. Cause our hearts to be drawn closer to you, to your heart. Do a mighty work in our lives today, O God. We thank you. In this season, let the dew of heaven continue to rain down upon us and continue to usher us into the glories of this new season. We thank you, our God. We bless and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you again so much for joining us, wherever you are joining us from, around this country, around the world, whatever platform you are joining us on, YouTube, Facebook, and or on our website directly. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm really thankful for the opportunity. A few things just swirling around my mind, in my heart, in my spirit that I want us to look into tonight, and I'm really hoping that it will be a short service. Glory to God. I hope you are enjoying the Daniel fast. You're enjoying those powerful morning devotions. Glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful season of developing and cultivating intimacy with God. Glory. I trust God that you are enjoying and being blessed by the Uncommon Wisdom devotional. It's glorious. It's awesome. Hallelujah. And the Knowing God More Intimately book, that's awesome. It's amazing. So our blessings from the Lord, breathed from the Holy Spirit Himself, and I'm really so thankful. Amen. The presence of God is everything. Cultivating habitual fellowship with God is the best commitment that any human being can make. The beautiful thing about it is, if you've been studying along with us or been reading the book, especially the new book, The Knowing God More Intimately, anyone can know God more. Anyone can develop and cultivate habitual fellowship with God. No one is too spiritual. No one is too unspiritual. Like I said in one of our recent services, regardless of how previous seasons have been in your life, you know, the beginning of a new year is always an opportunity that God gives to us to turn the page. So we're told to forget the former things and expect something new. You know, it's a great opportunity to hit that reset button, whether you've done so well in the previous season in 2024, or not so well, or even very badly. Whatever the case may be, this moment, this season, this early morning hours of 2025 give us the opportunity to turn the page and to reset, to come back to the Lord, to come back to Him. And like one of the scriptures we read last week in Isaiah 55, to come back in Isaiah 55 when the prophet said, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy, eat, come buy wine. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" And then it says in verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." In verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So, no matter where our lives have been, some of us have done, maybe you've done so very well spiritually. Praise God for that. That's a blessing. Because now you can just then go up to the next level that God has for you. We don't always have to come into a new season repenting and crying because we messed up in the previous season. But if we tripped up and we didn't do well, or we're not satisfied, or there were some things that we knew we should have done better that we didn't do so well, well, we can come in. The Lord is giving us an invitation. We can come back to Him. We can return to Him. And He says that He would do a new thing. The Lord wants to do a new thing. It's a new beginning. It's an opportunity to get with the Lord and lay hold on the new things that He has promised. Amen. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." These people, that's verse 21, "These people that I have formed for myself, they will show forth my glory." Amen. God wants to do a new thing in all of our lives. So if we've done very well, praise God, He wants to take us to the next level, because there is always more in God. None of us has achieved all there is to be achieved. I know sometimes if you are doing very well spiritually, we can have this attitude of, yeah, you know, what else, right? Like, I'm doing very well. And I pray that you don't have that attitude, because that's not humility. You know, the more you know the Lord, the more you walk with Him, the more you find out you are just inadequate, right? And on the other hand, if we haven't done so well, we shouldn't be condemning ourselves. Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans chapter 8 from verse 1, right? So there is no condemnation for you. God isn't looking at you and judging you and condemning you. No. Sometimes our hearts judge us. And sometimes, of course, the enemy, our adversary, Satan, tries to pile on if we've tripped up especially. But God, the Lord, has wide open arms, and He's calling us to come. "Come unto me," He said, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So this is such a beautiful season, a new opportunity to just get into the Lord, press into Him. Last week, we talked a lot about seeking God, right? We declare the promises of peace. Peace is your portion. The peace of God that passes all human understanding is your portion. Somebody say with me, God's shalom is mine. Amen. So you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be bothered about anything, right? You have no reason to be troubled. As a child of God, the Bible says, in the fear of the Lord, there is great confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge, right? You have a place of refuge in God. And he's giving you his peace. Jesus said in John, this is where I think we actually started out last week. I'm not really doing any kind of an organized revision or anything. I'm just going as the Holy Spirit is granting me, as ushering me. I'm totally at liberty, at peace, just enjoying his presence. I'm not trying to get to a place of accomplish a certain agenda. No, I have a few things, like I told you earlier, that are in my spirit. But whenever I sense that we're done tonight, we're done. Glory to God. I know that the Lord is just doing a work in all of our lives, and I'm really blessed by it. In John 14, from verse 27 in the Amplified, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." Amen. And of course, in John, that same John 14 from verse 1 says the same thing. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, God, who is the giver and the author of all peace, that he will complete you. The Lord will complete. This will be that season, that year, when the Lord will help you finally fill in all the things that have been missing in the past. In this year, 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your story, in the name of Jesus. This is the year when the Lord will fix it. Hallelujah. And you know, God is no politician. He has all power in his hands. He's not limited at all. The Lord will fix it. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21 in the Amplified, the Bible says, "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, the covenant, may that God who gives peace and authors peace strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you, may he strengthen, complete, and perfect you, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good, so that you may carry out his will on this earth in this season, while he himself continues to work in you to fulfill his own good pleasure." These are the promises of God. When we lie down, we have peace. When we rise up, we have peace. When we go out, we have peace. When we come in, we have peace. The peace of God that passes all human understanding, that's our inheritance, is our portion. But tonight, I really just wanted us to look at a few things regarding habitual fellowship with God, cultivating that habitual fellowship with God, as well as practicing the presence of God and just getting closer and closer to the presence of God, and also making a commitment of high quality to the presence of God and to cultivating that habitual fellowship, so that this is not just something that we're doing during the Daniel fast. And once January is over and you know, the fast is over, we reset and go right back to where we were in November or October or December of 2024. No, that's not what we're doing. Amen. We want to go on up. The Bible says the glory of the latter house will surpass the former. We want to go on up, keep mounting up with wings as eagles. So the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. When you cultivate habitual fellowship with God, and when you and I, when we when we make it a practice to practice his presence. Amen, I love that. When we make it a practice to practice his presence and to get closer to him and to draw near to him, then what we're going to find is, you know, we just go from glory, one level and one degree of glory, to another. We find the dew of heaven will continue to replenish our lives and just keep us in that bubble of jubilee, that bubble of God's glory and blessings. Do you imagine, do you dream of a life that is devoid, completely devoid of dryness, of weakness, of lack, insufficiency, failure, failed, disappointments, and all of that stuff? Anything that's associated with dryness? The dew of heaven is what will see to it that there is a replenishing of the glory of God upon our lives. Amen. And that dew comes from his presence. The closer we are, the more we are, not just for a season of a Daniel fast, 3 weeks or 4 weeks or what. No, but the more we cultivate his presence. Yeah, we're going to live normal lives. After fasting, we're going to go back and live our normal lives. And go back to everything, you know, whatever you've been doing. You do all the natural things. You do all your stuff. Eat all the things you were not eating during the fast. And drink all the things you were not drinking during the fast. And do all the different things that give you joy and pleasure in your life. You continue to do them. But in fact, that's what makes practicing God's presence even more fulfilling. When we're out of this dedicated time or season of fasting and praying, and we can continue on to be conscious of his presence and to practice his presence and to cultivate habitual fellowship with him. It's amazing what the Lord can do with us. It truly is amazing. And then we create that bridge between the spirit and the natural, where all these glorious practices of our spiritual life don't end in one season of the year, but they actually carry over. They carry over into our future, months and months and months to come. We continue to do exactly the same things that we're doing right now during this Daniel fast, cultivating his presence. Hallelujah. Keeping our minds on the Lord. Amen. I love Psalm 91. I'm sure you can tell. I love it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell in that secret place is not a stint. We're not going in and out and visiting. We're dwelling there. We're taking up residence. The Hebrew word is yashab. We take up residence in that secret place. The Holy Spirit and us, we fellowship continually, cultivate habitual fellowship with him, getting to know him more, seeking him, reaching out to him, opening up our hearts to him, worshiping him, of course, thanking him first above everything else, but then having heart-to-heart communication, koinonia, fellowship with the Lord. Deep, intimate fellowship with the Lord. Sharing with him the deep thoughts and the deep yearnings of our heart. Whether those yearnings are aspirations or whether they are just things of gratitude or concern. Things sometimes that we can't even talk to anyone about. When we can just keep that place of intimacy with God. And to Lord, tell him, Lord, here I am. Do with me whatever you choose. Fulfill in my life your purpose. Reveal to me what you want me to do, what you want, the things that you have preordained for my life. Help me know your way. Help me know your will. Help me be continually pleasing to you. And then as you are going about your daily lives with your families, with your friends, your career, your ministry, whatever else it is, you are living your normal life, but there is always that presence, that constant awareness that we have around us. And we learn how to behave in God's presence. We learn how to enjoy the fullness of joy that's in His presence. We learn how to relax and enjoy the peace that He gives us. And we keep peace. We keep an environment of peace and joy and love and harmony around us. We don't have peace. We're not one way when we're in church or when we're with other believers. And then when we get away and we're in our homes or we're with people that we are very familiar with, then we act like stupid people. We act like we were just pretending. No, I mean, there's a tendency for the flesh sometimes to want to act up. But when you are conscious of the Lord's presence is not just in church. The Lord's presence is not just in Bible study like it is tonight. The Lord's presence isn't just when we're around other believers. Right? You know, we learn to act right in God's presence. You know, God's presence is precious. It's precious. Remember what David prayed. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. His presence is precious. Renew a right spirit within me. His presence is precious. We ought to honor His presence. Now, in the corporate presence of God, when we're with other believers, especially in times of worship, times of singing, times of praying, times of the Word of God, you know, the Bible does show us how we ought to behave. We ought to honor the presence of God, right? We can't be in the presence of God and be acting like the Lord is not there. Like we just talk anyhow, we act anyhow, we jest without the boundaries of glorifying God, or we act out. We get angry, or we get offended. You don't, none of that. You must never do that in God's presence. Never, ever do that in God's presence. Remember, when we're gathered together, say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. So if He's there, we have to honor Him in our singing, in our praising, in our preaching, in our giving, even in our fun times when we're making one another laugh and we're, you know, maybe we're comedic or whatever. We still constantly are conscious the Lord is here. The Lord is here. See, when you get to that place where His presence means that much to you, you've cracked the code. You've cracked the code to the glory of God. When you are in that, and you're growing in it. This is not just something you are putting on, like for show, when there are others. No, this is something you are growing in. And sometimes you find yourself trip up. Sometimes you find yourself, you know, do the wrong thing. You repent quickly. If there were other people there that you did that with, you go to them, I'm sorry. Forgive me. We're in the presence of God. I should never have said that. I should never have done that. I'm sorry. If it was just you and the Lord, I'm sorry. And immediately move on. Lord, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. I'll move right on. But we've got to honor, we've got to learn to honor His presence. When we're in the presence of people that we really honor. I mean, think about, I don't know how many of you watched the inauguration ceremony yesterday of the new president-elect. And the vice president, and the swearing in, and all of that. You know, look at that gathering. I mean, most reasonable people who were there, there were times when they smiled, there were times when they laughed, there were times when they got up and they clapped, depending on what was said, if they really liked it or it was, you know, it really spoke to them. There were others who frowned if they didn't like what was said. But notice that nobody just got up and acted inappropriately. Nobody would have done it. Nobody would have dared do it. Nobody could have gotten up and just said something. Even though they didn't like, they may not have liked something that was being said, but nobody would have gotten up and just said something in there for everybody. No. There was a lot of decorum. There was a lot of gravitas. It's the event. Well, if we're going to treat human events like that, how about God's event, God's presence? God's presence is everything. Like Moses said, God's presence is everything. He said to God, if your presence won't go with us, then don't send us away from here. God's presence is everything. God's presence is our protection. God's presence, that's our provision. God's presence, that's our peace. God's presence, that's where favor flows. That's where wisdom comes. That's where rest is. We have to honor his presence. In the church, we have to learn. There's a way I know in the modern church, sometimes people act as though the church is like a social gathering. It's not. If you've been relating with the church like a social gathering, you better repent. It's not a social gathering. Yeah, there are social things we do, but the church, that's the presence of God. Have you read Hebrews 11? Hebrews 12? When it talks about we have not come, it talks about Mount Zion. We've come unto Mount Zion, the mountain of the Lord. Let me look for that scripture. I didn't plan to go there. Look at it. Hebrews 12, and this is the presence of God. For the New Testament believer, you have to understand this right here is the presence. Paul, the writer of the book of Hebrews, is writing to believers and telling them this, when you come into the presence of God, whether by yourself and just practicing his presence or with other believers in a corporate setting, like in a fellowship or a church, this is the presence of God. This is, look at it, Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 18, it says, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice or words, which voice they that heard it entreated that the word should not be spoken. Is describing what happened in the Old Testament. A lot of what they experienced with Moses, when Moses went and got the laws from the Lord, when he went and got the commandments from the Lord, and some of the things that happened. Paul is saying that's not what happens now, because this is a new dispensation. However, he's not telling them to throw all honor to the winds and to act like fools in God's presence. Listen to this. He says, verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched that mountain, it was stoned or thrust through with a dart. I mean, there was some very, very scary things that happened in the Old Testament. You know the stories. There are things that happened that were so scary because it was that dispensation. Now, the dispensation is different now, but his glory is not different. His presence is not any less. Verse 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake in the presence of God. But verse 22, it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. When we gather together, This is what we are gathered around. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. All these people are gathered with us. And above all, of course, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. All of this in the presence of God. It says then in verse 23, see that you do not refuse him that speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven. Hallelujah. Presence of God is glorious. And if you back up just a little bit here, just a few verses, you see here, he's talking about, you know, our fellowshipping together, right? He's talking about our fellowshipping together. He's talking about when we come together, when we're in the presence of God together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The presence of God is precious. We have to treat it like that. We have to hallow his presence. We have to honor his presence. This is one of the things that I'm trusting God happens for all of us, even through this period of our fast, as we grow in the Lord, as we cultivate more and more habitual fellowship with him, and as we practice more of his presence. That there's that consciousness, there's fun, there's joy, there's love, like there's peace like a river. It's good, it's all good in that fellowship, in our corporate gathering and in our individual intimate gatherings with God. But his presence is precious. We must treat it that way. There's a holiness about his presence. We must be conscious the Lord is here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Angels are here. Spirits of just men made perfect. This is the glorious, the most glorious gathering there can be. The presence of God. Hallelujah. So learning to cultivate that presence and cultivate habitual fellowship is so crucial. Let's read Noah. Noah, the Bible says he walked in habitual fellowship with God. Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says Enoch. Sorry, did I say Noah? I meant Enoch. Thank you, Lord. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God after the birth of Methuselah, 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Imagine that. He lived a complete life. 365 days make one year. Enoch lived 365 years. He lived a complete life in that time, in that dispensation. He never experienced death. He never went through the corridor of death. Everything about the life of God attested to Enoch's experience, Enoch's lived reality. He said here in verse 24, and Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him. He was not, for God took him home with him. He walked in habitual fellowship. So think about it. He had natural life. He had children. The Bible tells us about his children, right? If you keep reading, you see when he was Methuselah, verse 25, when Methuselah was 187, let's back up here. Enoch walked in, that's verse 22, and back up, back up to verse 19, actually verse 18, when Jared was 162 years old, Enoch was born. Jared was Enoch's father. Jared lived after the birth of Enoch 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So Jared lived 962 years, and he died. When Enoch was 65 years old, Methuselah was born. And I believe Methuselah was probably the person who lived probably the longest. I have to get that right. Make sure that, yeah, Methuselah in verse 27. That's why people talk about where you live old like Methuselah. You are old like Methuselah. He lived the longest, I think, he's on record. That's Enoch's son. Enoch's son. In verse 27, in verse 26, Methuselah lived after the birth of Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. So Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. He almost made it to 1,000. That's the oldest. I think that's on record to be the oldest person or the person who lived the longest on earth in scriptures. But I want you to notice here, the Bible says to us in verse 22, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. He walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him. And in Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 5, it says this, because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven. So Enoch didn't just walk, live, or cultivate habitual fellowship with God. He was a man who was pleasing to God. He was a man who knew how to honor and cherish and hallow the presence of God. He was a man who knew how to live well, live a good life. But he was also a man of faith. I mean, I know sometimes when we talk about fellowshipping with God or we talk about practicing the presence of God, sometimes there is a sense that we're just talking about just living just like just this spiritual, just all we ever do. The only thing we ever do is spiritual. It's not true. Enoch lived a normal life. But the Bible says he walked in habitual fellowship with God. Look at it. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven, so that he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony still on record that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. He walked in habitual fellowship with God. I can imagine he knew how to act in the presence of God, whether it was by himself or with his family or with other people. He knew how to cherish the presence of God. We know God loves to share his presence with us. We know that, right? Because you remember in Genesis chapter 3, you remember after the serpent deceived Adam and Eve, you remember the Bible says that God came and they heard God walking in the cool of the day in the garden. You remember that? In Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and from, I think this is verse 8. And they heard, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where are you? We know the Lord loves to share his presence with us, not just for 21 days. Not just for a time or a season of a fast. We know the Lord wants to visit us regularly. The Lord wants to come into our homes. He wants to come into our businesses. He wants to come into our cars sometimes. He wants to come into our churches. He wants to come into our lives. The Lord wants to share his way. He came, they heard his voice in the cool of the day. And he always comes in the cool of the day. Glory to God. When the dew of the heavens have settled, the Lord always comes. His presence always comes with that refreshing. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, last week, we were sharing, I know one of our scriptures, I got to try to wrap this up. I wanted to have a very short service tonight. Glory to God. Make a commitment with me tonight. Lord, I commit myself to walking in habitual fellowship with you throughout this season, throughout this year, and beyond, continuing to grow in my knowledge of you and cultivating habitual fellowship with you. Whether I'm in your presence doing spiritual things, or whether I'm just living my natural life and having fun, with my loved ones or doing work, pursuing my career or my business or my ministry, or doing things that are totally unspiritual. Lord, I want to cultivate habitual fellowship with you. Can you make that commitment with me tonight? Lord, I know you will help me. I know. I'm hearing your word tonight. I'm committing myself. I'm making a commitment of high quality to walk in habitual fellowship with you. Lord, I'll honor and cherish and hallow your presence. I'll be conscious of your presence everywhere I go, especially when I'm in your presence in my intimate gathering relationship with you. And when I'm in the gathering of God's saints in fellowship with other believers, I'll hallow your presence. I'll honor your presence. Yes, I'll enjoy the company of other believers. Yes, we'll enjoy your word. We'll enjoy singing and praising and worshiping and psalms and everything. We'll enjoy giving. We'll enjoy, or we'll enjoy, we'll even enjoy laughing and sometimes making jokes that are glorifying to you. We'll enjoy that. But God, most importantly, we will honor and hallow your presence. We'll be conscious that you are right there. Your presence is not to be taken. It's not to be demeaned. It's not to be defiled. It's not to be demeaned. It's not to be ignored or neglected. Lord, no. We will cherish and esteem and honor your presence. Hallelujah. So you remember last week when Isaac, in Genesis 27, when Isaac called his son, Jacob, to bless him, you remember he said to him, come close. I love it because come close. When we come close to him, we contact his presence. When we come close to him, we contact his presence. That's why... Before we read in Genesis 27, let's quickly go to James. James chapter 4. I told you at the beginning, I'm just following the Lord here. I'm just enjoying Bible study with you, with the Lord in his presence. Amen. I hope you're enjoying it too. I hope you're not sleeping. Glory to God. Because I know even in the midst of our having fun in God's presence, I know God is saying some very specific, definite things to his people. So I do hope that in the midst of all this, that you are, your antenna, your spiritual antenna is up there, and you are catching whatever the Lord is speaking to you personally, that is for you. Look at this now, in James chapter 4, And verse 6, I don't have a lot of time here. Verse 8, this is the Amplified. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Come close to God. Come close to God and he will come close to you. The way we draw from his presence, the way we become fuller, more full of his presence, is that we come close. We do more of the basic things that we've always done in our relationship with him. We take more time. We come into his presence with praise, with thanksgiving. We worship him. We thank him for all that he's done for us. We're thankful. We're grateful. And then we start expressing point by point what we are thankful for, how we know what he did and how we noticed it, we saw it and we're thankful. And then we open our hearts and we bless him. And sometimes it helps, like we did in our most recent Sunday service. We had to have a virtual because of the weather forecast. And sometimes you just open the Psalms. You just open the Psalms, you have some music. If you have some music, great. If you don't have some music, just, you know, and you may have to do some work ahead of time to go through your Psalms, go through your Bible, and pick out Psalms of thanksgiving, Psalms of praise, Psalms of worship that you can use. So when it comes to these times that you have dedicated to practicing the presence of God and habitual fellowship with God and nurturing his presence, then you go to those Psalms and you pick them one by one. One by one, you read them. You read them slowly, and you hallow him, and you hallow his name, and you glorify him through as those psalms. As you read them, you let the meanings of those psalms of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, you let it resonate in your spirit, and then you extend those psalms by you also giving him praise and glory and worship. This is how we practice his presence. We honor him. We don't just worship God when there is a band playing or when there are other people leading us, good voices, great music, good. Yeah, that's all good. But many times, majority of the time when we have to worship God, we won't have all that. We should be able to worship God in our cars. We should be able to worship God at our desk, at work. We should be able to worship God in the grocery store. A moment of worship comes. You know, you're not acting weird. You're just, oh, thank you, Lord. You just pause for a moment and just honor the Lord and just love on him and just worship him. And then keep on walking through the aisle, picking up your groceries. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Amen. But you remember in Genesis 27, Isaac said to Jacob, come near, come close, come close. And then he smelled him, and then he touched him, he felt his hair, and then he started to prophesy over him. In verse from, you know, Genesis 27 from verse 23, but I'm just going to jump all the way to verse 27. He came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. He came close, and then the blessings of God started to erupt out of his father and poured it out upon him. Verse 28, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you. Nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. And blessed be those who bless you. Those blessings are still there for us today. And you know, Jacob took it all. And he got it because he came close to his father. That's how the Lord blesses us. That's how he releases his blessings upon us. When we practice his presence, when we are close, when we cultivate habitual fellowship with him. You know, in Genesis 28, the very first thing that Jacob did was recognize the presence of God. Before he got any blessing, right there, once he was alone by himself, before he got any blessing, the very first thing that happened to him, he recognized the presence of God. He said, wow, surely God is in this place and I did not know it. The very first encounter he had in his life after this blessing when he left home was with the presence of God. He said, ah, surely God is in this place and I did not know it. It's Genesis chapter 28. He had to sleep. The sun was set. He had to sleep the night before continuing on his journey. The following day, put a stone, used gather stones and used them as a pillow and slept. And when he slept, he saw a vision. And the angels were going up and coming down. And when he woke up, he said, wow, presence. This is the house of God. This is no other than the house of God. The presence of God. See, he got it. He got it. When he got close to his father unleashed the blessing. But even his father knew the key and the secret to the blessing of God. It's the presence of God. You know, Isaac himself in Genesis, he was someone who practiced habitual fellowship with God. He went out, he had a place he went to, he meditated, he'll spend time worshiping, he'll spend time meditating, he'll spend time praising, he'll spend time talking to the Lord, communing with God. Praying, sharing his heart with God and getting God's heart, asking God for his ways, seeking God's purpose. The service is supposed to be very short tonight. I don't know how I got to 50 minutes. I'm going to try to close here. I want to try to close, but I don't read about Moses first. I got to read that Moses in Exodus 33 before I close. You know, in Genesis 24, look at it. I think it's verse 63. I'm not sure, 63, 64. Yeah, there it is. There it is. And I think it's verse 63. Genesis 24 and verse 63. That's one of the longest chapters in the Old Testament. Genesis 24:63. Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And he looked up and saw that, behold, the camels were coming. And if you have to go read that story, I don't have the time tonight to go too much into it. But it's a place he went regularly because his servant, when they went to get his wife, Rebecca, his wife to be, Rebecca for him. And Rebecca said, "Who is that man?" He said, "Ah, that's my servant. Ah, that's my master," his servant said. "That's my master." Because they knew that's where he went to meditate. He called that place Beer Lahairoi. He called that place. That's what is in verse 62. Now Isaac had returned from going to the well Beer Lahairoi, a well to the living one who sees me. For he now dwelt in the south country, the Negev. He spent time with God, practicing the presence of God. No wonder he didn't know dryness. You know his story in Genesis 26. In a dry land, when everybody was suffering from the famine, nobody could find wells, nobody could find water. When Isaac started digging wells, his servant started digging wells. When the opposition, the enemies came and took the wells away and they moved on, everywhere they went, wells. Why? The dew of heaven was upon that man. The dew of heaven will be upon you in the name of Jesus. I said the dew of heaven will be upon you and your family and your loved ones. In the name of Jesus. I got to close this out. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses, hallelujah. Exodus chapter 33, verse 9. It came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. He talked with Moses. God wants to share fellowship with us. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped. Every man in his tent door, we worship in his presence. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. That's what habitual fellowship is. Closeness, intimacy, friendship with God through the Holy Spirit. Face to face. And he turned again into the camp. Verse 12, and Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, see, you said you are going to send us, but you've not told us who you are going to send with us. If I found grace, look at it. This is verse 12. It says, now you have said, I know you by name, and you have also said, I found grace in your sight. Now therefore, verse 13, I pray thee, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way. Show me your way that I may know you. I want to know you more. I know I met you at the burning bush. And you've revealed a lot of yourself to me, but I want to know you more. Show me your way. Teach me your way. Teach me your way. The way of life everlasting. Show me the way of the path. Show me the path of life. Teach me your will. Help me walk in your purpose. These are the things we commune with God about when we are in his presence. Help me walk in line with your purpose. Help me glorify you in my life. Glory to God. That I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Verse 14, and God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Look at that. His presence is everything. The peace, the shalom. God's shalom is yours. God's shalom is mine. That peace flows from his presence. My friends, you try this. If there's upheaval in your home and turmoil in your life, in your family, around, you take the presence of God there and keep that ark. Keep the ark and the presence of God in your family. My friends, I guarantee you there'll be a turnaround. That upheaval will have to leave. The turmoil will have. You bring the presence of God in there. Because in his presence, there is life. In his presence, there is joy. In his presence, there is peace. Look at it. My presence will go with you, and I will give you peace. I'll give you rest. And Moses said unto him, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, don't carry us away from here. Don't carry us away. His presence is everything. His presence is everything. As we press on further in our Daniel fast, let's close tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You've helped us. I didn't really want to go this long, but thank you for helping us tonight. As we continue and press on further in our Daniel fast, a time of just waiting on the Lord, let's commit to habitual fellowship with God. Let's commit to hallowing His presence. When we are one-on-one with Him, when we're with Him, in our times of intimate relationship with God, let's hallow His presence, let's honor Him, let's cherish Him. But even when we're with the saints, let's remember we're in the presence of God, right? We're in the presence of God. Let's hallow His presence. Let's honor Him. Let's enjoy fullness of joy. Let's have peace. Let's have love. Let's have fellowship. But let's hallow His presence. When it comes to laughter, let's laugh, but let's remember He's here. The Lord is here. Let's not get into mockery and jesting. We're in His presence. Let's not act out. Act stupid. Get up and act foolish. And say things. We're in His presence. Don't curse people out. Let's hallow His presence. And as we continue on the rest of the year, let's remember it's not just for 21 days. Let's keep doing it. Let's carry it on. Let's carry it forward. Like Moses said, Lord, if Your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us away from here. And we will have peace. God's shalom will be ours. All will be well with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank You so much tonight. We bless You. We magnify You. Thank You for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your precious word. Oh, Your presence is life. We feel it so much. There's so much joy here. So much grace. So much grace. Hallelujah. So much grace. Thank You. So much peace. So much favor. So much love. So much joy. Thank You. I know it's not just here in this studio. I know it's out there as well. It's in the airwaves. It's around your children. It's in different homes, in different places. God, we thank You for it. We thank You for it. Now help us with the commitment that we've made. Help us, God, to follow through. Help us, Lord, to follow through. Help us to follow through. To cultivate as the year goes on. As we do our different things, live our lives normally and go back to eating and the things that we do and walking and fun things and a lot. But to continue to cultivate habitual fellowship with You. To continue to practice Your presence. To hallow and to honor Your presence. We thank You, our God. Give You praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for your patience. I didn't really think. I wasn't planning to go on this long, but I guess that's typical. Glory to God. We're out of time. I look forward to seeing you again, same time, next week. Remember to join us tomorrow morning for devotion. God bless you. Good night.